Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, I'm Kim, reading the Odessa American, and it's Tuesday, August 17th. COVID soaring in Ector County, health providers plead with public to get vaccinated. By Laura Dennis. Hospital admissions for those with COVID continue to surge across the U.S. and in Ector County, with only about 0.02% of those admissions nationwide representing fully vaccinated patients. Doctors from both Medical Center Health Systems and Odessa Regional Medical Center again detailed during a COVID news conference Monday that the disease is in your hands. Both Dr. Timothy Benton, Ector County's health authority and co-chief of staff at MCH, Dr. Rohith Saravanan, regional chief medical officer at ORMC, reminded and warned Odessans that washing hands, wearing masks, and getting vaccinated are the most important tools in the fight against COVID. The numbers confirmed that. MCH CEO Russell Tippin's daily numbers for MCH on Monday detailed 88 in-house. That is up from 50 or 60 last Friday. It has really changed. I can tell you people are really sick. We are moving them around and opening new departments. Of the 88, 27 are on ventilators at MCH. Tippin said the hospital has ordered 40 new ventilators and added that most of the patients at MCH are from Ector County. This is an Ector County issue we are dealing with here, he said. On Monday's count, there were 70 unvaccinated and 13 vaccinated. It's very easy to tell the difference, Tippin said. The vaccinated are tolerating COVID a lot better. MCH Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons reported 12 employees out with COVID or quarantining. She said most elective surgery are being postponed starting Tuesday and that staff members are being moved around to help care for the rising COVID numbers in-house. It is more hands for those who are ill, whether COVID or not. State nurses, she said, are expected to help boost staffing numbers by Wednesday. MCH did not get the number of nurses they requested, but Timmons said anything helps at this point with MCH staff exhausted and overwhelmed by COVID numbers. ORMC CEO Stacy Brown reported 26 in-house with 8 in ICU and 5 on vents. She said the unvaccinated patients number is around 96%. Sarah Vannon spoke briefly about some Ector County health care providers prescribing unapproved medications for those suffering from COVID and warned that these doctors could face discipline or even lose their medical licenses. He said patients need to stop seeking unapproved treatments and doctors need to prescribe only what is approved. Treaters in our community are giving out things that don't work. Actions can be taken against med provider licenses, he said. It is a stark warning for those spreading misinformation, not just in our community, but in the U.S. Benton said the number at both hospitals speak to the prevalence of the disease in the community. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, he said, of masks and vaccines. Actually, prevention is the best cure. Social distancing and masks and vaccines. Water and Energy Conference plans announced. Changes are in store for the Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference coming February 22nd and 23rd, 2022. During a news conference Monday at the Petroleum Club in Midland, officials said the event is being brought under the umbrella of the University of Texas Permian Basin, and the conference will be cut from 3 days to two. Jim Woodcock, PBWIEC Chair, CEO of Midland Portfolio Partners and JJW Oil and Gas said, "We are in the middle of a desert with an acquirer that's being pulled on really hard. If my grandchildren decide to come back here, I'd like for them to be able to brush their teeth in Midland, Texas, or Odessa, Texas, and they're not going to be able to unless we do something with this water," Woodcock said. He said he was at a meeting with the Midland Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Bobby Burns and with 5 of the leading oil and gas producers in the area. Their objective was to drill 25,000 wells in the next 5 years. The smaller wells would use about 1 million barrels of water, and the larger ones would use 7 million barrels of water for drilling. And they use it one time, and then it's going into saltwater disposal wells. Ultimately, the conference was born. At its new home at University of Texas Permian Basin under the Shepherd Public Leadership Institute, Woodcock said the understanding is that the volunteers will be providing the direction for the program. He said these are people in the oil and gas industry. The challenges facing the conference were to find sponsors, finding interesting speakers, and cutting their program from 3 days to two. Woodcock said sponsors are signed up, but more are needed. President Sandra Woodley from UTPB is honored to be part of this event, which will take place in the Midland Horseshoe Arena. She noted that the university has a research institute for water and energy at the engineering building off State Highway 191. Woodley said there are faculty with expertise along with the business side and College of Business Dean Steve Beach, who was in attendance. Since we are going to be stepping up to be the administrative support and the operator of the event, we have put that in the John Ben Shepherd Leadership Institute. The Leadership Institute is something that we're very proud of. We have new leadership here in the Institute, Woodley said. We're excited about where we're going with the conference, and the university is very happy to make it even a more resounding success than it already has been, she added. Blair Flanagan, Director of Special Programs at the JBS Institute, said the website for the Water and Energy Conference has been redesigned. It has the capability for both attendees and sponsors to go online and register in that regard. It's very user-friendly, Flanagan said. Memorial event for shooting victims canceled. A memorial event scheduled for August 31st at UTPB to pay tribute to the victims of the horrific 2019 mass shooting in Odessa has been canceled due to COVID-19, organizers announced on Monday. Organizers were also forced to cancel the event in 2020 due to COVID, said Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm. Before the recent COVID outbreak, several agencies came together to do a tribute, Hamm said. With the rise of COVID in numbers, we all felt an abundance of caution was called for. The decision to again cancel the tribute was a difficult one, Hamm said. Due to COVID, the Odessa community has not yet had a chance to come together to mourn and celebrate the lives of those that were lost. The community has not yet had an opportunity to find closure, Hamm said. Several tributes are still moving forward, including plans to put up flags at Memorial Gardens on August 31st. And the city of Odessa has agreed to create two videos honoring the victims and their loved ones, Hamm said. The Odessa Spire will also be lit yellow for the remainder of August in remembrance of those who were killed. On August 31st, 2019, 7 people were killed and 25 people injured, including a 17-month-old girl, before the shooter, Seth Aaron Ator, 36, of Odessa, was gunned down by police outside a movie theater. The victims included Rodolfo Julio Arco, 57, Mary Granados, 27, Leila Hernandez, 15, Joseph Griffith, 40, and Edwin Peregrino, 25, all of Odessa. Also killed were Raul Garcia, 35, of El Paso, and Cameron Carltus Brown, 30, of Brownwood. Local News Roundup, Student Emergency Financial Aid Grants. This fall, Midland College will award emergency financial aid grants to all eligible students experiencing emergency costs that arise due to coronavirus. Grant funds can be used for expenses such as tuition, food, housing, health care, or child care. Minimum award amount is $500, and students with exceptional needs will be prioritized for funding. These student grants are part of the Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund, HEERF, and will be awarded in addition to federal Pell Grants and MC Scholarships. For more information or to apply, visit www.midland.edu/COVID-19. Training. Discover Odessa has scheduled certified Odessa training from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. October 20th and from 8:30 a.m. to noon October 21st at the Pecos Depot, 2140 Andrews Highway. Topics will include learn how to be Texas-friendly with a Texas Pecos Trail representative. Learn about all the attractions Odessa has to offer its local and visitors. Hear from the host attraction about their mission and services offered, and tour the host attraction. The event is free. RSVP is required. Space is limited. To RSVP, call 432-333-7871 or email erica@discoverodessa.com. Erica is E-R-I-K-A. For more information, visit discoverodessa.com. COVID-19 news by the numbers. COVID in the basin. Ector County, 19,745 total cases, 392 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 14 students, 5 staff. Midland County, 20,772 total cases, 279 deaths. Texas, 3,334,027 total cases, 54,289 deaths. U.S. cases, 36,720,973 total confirmed and 619,564 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com. Quick hits, volunteers needed. West Texas Food Bank, 411 South Pagewood Avenue, has scheduled Food for Kids sacking from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. The community is invited to help sack the backpacks, which will be distributed to more than 50 elementary schools in 5 area school districts. Bring a cloth face covering and wear closed-toed shoes only. Food for Kids represents all children's programming through the West Texas Food Bank, including Food for Babies, a formula pantry, Kids Cafe, which provides a hot meal after school, the backpack program, and school pantries, which gives school-aged children access to food through their schools. For more guidelines or information, email mcarrasco@wtxfoodbank.org. Annual Golf Tournament. Knights of Columbus Council 8773 and St. Elizabeth Ann Seton has scheduled its 20th annual golf tournament on September 11th at Ratliff Ranch Golf Course. Registration starts at 8 a.m. Scholarships and team information are available. Sponsorships are due August 14th. Team deadline is September 7th. For more information, call Pete Fierro at 432-258-3304 or email Pedro Javier_Fierro@yahoo.com. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. In vitro baby long-term effects. Dear Dr. Roach, is there any research that people born via in vitro fertilization have increased long-term health issues? My 30-year-old daughter was born via in vitro and was healthy until she reached puberty. Then her hormones went haywire and she started having benign breast tumors, then asthma, then appendicitis, now thyroid problems. She went from being small for her age to overweight. I just wonder if the drugs her mother took to make in vitro possible had long-term effects. Answer: there are some health issues associated with assisted reproductive technology such as IVF. However, the best known of these are related to early development, including a small increase in congenital abnormalities, low birth weight, and pregnancy loss. The neurological and developmental outcome of children conceived by IVF and other technologies appear to be no different from children from spontaneous pregnancies. I did read one report of children from IVF having early puberty, but it is not clear that the risk of early puberty is higher overall. Asthma, appendicitis, breast tumors, and thyroid issues are very common in teens and young women, as are weight problems. Based on my reading, I doubt the IVF has anything to do with it. Odessa Regional Eye's $10 million renovation project. Odessa Regional Hospital is seeking Odessa City Council's help acquiring state funds that will help the hospital proceed with a $10 million capital improvement project to expand its facilities and services. During their Tuesday work session, Council will consider a request to authorize the nomination of Odessa Regional Hospital as a Texas State Enterprise Zone, a designation that would allow the hospital to apply for state funds for the capital expenditure project. Proposed improvements over the next 5 years include spending $7.5 million for building expansion renovation projects dedicated to women and maternity care, a letter sent to the city by William Stokes, Steward Healthcare's Senior Vice President of Tax Detailed. The expansion, which would be completed over the next 5 years, would include a $3.5 million renovation to the West Campus, a $3.5 million expansion to the coronary care unit, and a $500,000 remodel of the lab. About $2.5 million would be spent on purchasing new equipment, and this includes $1 million to replace beds, $500,000 to purchase a Da Vinci robot, $200,000 for new anesthesia machines, and $800,000 on other equipment. Council on Tuesday will also review and consider approval of several budget proposals, including $1,182,078 for general operations for the Emergency Communication District of Ector County, according to an agenda item submitted by the city's police department. The Emergency Communication District of Ector County provides 911 telephones and dispatch services cities of Odessa and Goldsmith and Ector County, which receive these services. Odessa, Goldsmith, and the county must all approve the proposed budget. Estimated revenue for 2021-22 is $1,183,000. Estimated expenditures of $1,182,078 will result in a surplus of $922,000, according to a report by the Emergency District of Ector County Board. That surplus revenue will be placed in a pot that will pay for major improvements slated for the 911 system in 2022-23. Their improvements are expected to cost between $1 to $2 million. According to the work session agenda, Council will consider approval of the Odessa Development Corporation budget for 2021-22. The ODC's projected total revenue is $7,904,068. Projected expenditures is $1,547,729. A public hearing for the city's 2021-22 operating budget is also on the agenda. Council is being asked to approve a $239,327,076 budget, which will include giving all city staff a 4% cost of living pay increase for 2021-22. City Manager Michael Marrero noted that due to COVID-19 and financial unpredictability the pandemic poses, no raises were given in 2020. Normally, employees receive an annual 3% raise. Council is scheduled to discuss and consider approving the formation of a joint task force committee to address redistricting issues following the 2020 U.S. Census, according to the council's work session agenda. The joint committee would include representatives from the city, Ector County Independent School District, Ector County Hospital District, Odessa Junior College District, and Ector County. According to the work session agenda, Council will consider awarding a $2,351,000 bid to Cooper Construction for the rehabilitation of the city-owned building at 307 North Lee Street. The building will house community development, code enforcement, and fire marshal office. The rehab, which includes a roof replacement and the purchase of office furnishings, will be paid from 2019 certificates of obligation funds. Death notices. Felipa Armendariz Gomez. Odessa. Felipa Armendariz Gomez, 82, of Odessa, died Friday, August 13, 2021, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. August 19, 2021, at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County. Visitation will be held from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Rosary at 7 p.m. at Odessa Funeral Home on Wednesday, August 18, 2021. Father Chavez is officiating. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home, 7511 Odessa. Reverend R.C. Hutchinson, Odessa. Reverend R.C. Hutchinson, 94, died Sunday, August 15, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Paul Knott, Midland. Paul Knott, 54, of Midland, died Sunday, August 15, 2021, in Midland. Mass will be celebrated at 12 p.m. August 21, 2021, at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Friday, August 21, 2021, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Catherine Sparks, Odessa. Catherine Sparks, 83, of Odessa, died Friday, August 13, 2021, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Wednesday, August 18, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Joe Boland Todd, Burleson. Joe Boland Todd, 96, of Joshua, Texas, died Thursday, August 12, 2021, in Burleson. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. August 17, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Clydell Chapman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Glendia, G-L-E-N-D-Y-A, Joy Green Williams, Odessa. Glendia Joy Green Williams, 79, died Sunday, August 15, 2021, in Houston. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Coaching for ECISD staff on agenda. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will meet at 6 p.m. today, Tuesday, in the boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The board will consider embedded coaching for science teachers in grades 3 through 12 and instructional coaching support and facilitation proposals and supplemental agenda. The emphasis on the science piece will be to grow and understand science-specific pedagogy, best practices along with the implementation of the science and engineering practices that will be included in the new TEKS adoption. Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills is the current curriculum. This endeavor is an expansion of the coaching that was completed last year in select secondary areas, the material said. Cost of the project is $232,000, and the funding source is ESSER, which stands for Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Funds. The recommended supplier is STEMS Scope Accelerated Learning, the material said. On a separate item, ECISD is seeking instructional coaching support and facilitation proposals to utilize professional learning for instructional leaders to personalize the coaching experience and increase coaching outcomes, the material said. TNTP, which used to be known as the New Teacher Project, will provide ECISD instructional leaders with job-embedded professional learning that is aligned with the district's goals, strategies, as well as the Get Better Faster coaching model to increase coaching outcomes, the material said. Through the proposed project, TNTP and ECISD district leaders will work closely with instructional coaches to develop shared knowledge and the skills related to norming on the district's existing vision for effective, engaging, and equitable instruction, formalizing the coaching cycle to include routines and tools for observing and assessing instructional quality, and strengthening techniques for developing, delivering, and following up on teacher feedback. The material said the cost is $200,000 per year for 3 years, and the funding source is American Rescue Plan ESSE-3 funds. The recommended supplier service provider is TNTP, the material said. Director of Communications Mike Atkins said the board will also hear the annual Gifted and Talented Program presentation. It will offer an overview of how the GT program will be structured for the year. Superintendent Scott Murray has said he wants to serve gifted and talented students better. It's been discovered that GT students are being under-identified, and it's felt that more students should be in the program. The board also will consider extending the deadline for 1.5 P1 LLC's application for an appraised value limitation. The application was approved previously. Odessa to be certified music-friendly. According to a press release Monday, the Odessa Arts announced the city of Odessa will be certified as a music-friendly community on August 21st at Ector Theater. The ceremony will take place immediately preceding the Aaron Watson concert at 7 p.m. "We are thrilled to become the next music-friendly certified community in Texas," Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm said. "The Texas Music Office and other music-friendly communities will be a great resource for professional development for our local talent, while also allowing us to import great music from around the state. Participation in Texas Music Office's Friendly Music Community Program provides Texas communities with a network for fostering music industry development and sends a clear message to industry professionals that certified communities are serious about attracting and developing music industry growth. Tickets for Aaron Watson are available at theector.com. Ector County ISD to celebrate 100th birthday this week. The big day is this week. On Wednesday, Ector County Independent School District officially turns 100 years old. In 1921, during a special session of the Texas Legislature, House Bill 59 created the Ector County Independent School District, consolidating several local schools. The bill was signed and went into effect on August 18, 1921. On Wednesday, ECISD will celebrate in several ways. The school nutrition department will create a cookie for every school lunch. The Education Foundation is sending a treat every employee. Schools can participate with activities designed around 100, and district leaders will hold a press conference outdoors in the meditation garden at Austin Montessori Magnet Elementary, 901 North Lee Street. Between 12:30 and 1 p.m., the district will be announcing plans for more events and gifts ECISD will be receiving over the next 10 months. Community members, businesses, and organizations are invited to join the social media celebration on Wednesday afternoon by posting birthday wishes using hashtag ECISD100Years and hashtag HBDECISD. A 100th celebration webpage is active and will be updated with information frequently.
Hello, this is Michael reading from the Odessa American. Column by Dennis Ellum. Potential significant market tops underway. The years 2014 to 2016 saw the price of crude drop from $110 to just under $30. There is a six-year cycle in various markets. Crude has now reached the high last seen in the last 6 years, occurring in 2018 at $75. That is expected to hold for some time. This is affirmed with the action of significant energy stocks. ExxonMobil doubled from $30 to $65. Chevron Texaco moved from $65 to $110. Both stocks are already off those highs. After a good deal of bad news, Apache soared from $8 to $24 and is already off to $19. Far East demand has boosted natural gas, from $2.50 to $4.10. We previously noted that Team Biden had stopped the Keystone Pipeline construction. This makes shipping oil by truck or rail slower and far more dangerous. Yet the same team approved a Russian pipeline to Germany. Go figure. Expect topping action in the energy sector. That same six-year cycle exists in the stock market. In 2015, Chinese stocks peaked early in the year and sold off into the fall. The same thing is happening now. The China Fund, CHN, peaked in February at $35 and is now at $27.70. In the U.S. markets, the transports lead the way. That index is already down from a May peak of 16,000 to 14,473. Our expectations are that we will see corrective lows in August and September. That also coincides with the usual fall seasonal low, so expect a recovery into the spring, probably registering a lower high. It may be well that negative social mood is finally settling in on the markets. All major Democrat-run cities are experiencing serious increases in crime. Homeless numbers are out of control in San Francisco. How's that defund for police program working? Liberal Austin has crime rates 38% higher than the Texas mean and 49% higher than the nation's mean. There is no southern border, and the Taliban are making significant gains amid our withdrawal from Afghanistan. Protests have been stifled in Hong Kong and Cuba. Former California Senator Barbara Boxer, 80, was mugged in broad daylight in her home state. Apparently, shoplifting less than $1,000 is no longer a crime in that state. Brace for a near-term market correction. Dennis Ellum is an associate professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School, and blogs at www.themarketperspective.com. The Economist by M. Ray Perryman. Outlook for Texas metropolitan area economies. The economic upheaval of 2020 impacted all corners of Texas, as centers of employment, the largest metropolitan statistical areas, MSAs, experienced the bulk of the heavy losses as the state responded to the COVID-19 crisis. About 79.3% of 1.4 million jobs lost between February and April 2020 were concentrated in the state's six largest MSAs. However, recovery is ongoing, with the pace varying depending on industrial composition and other factors. Let's briefly explore the current status of the state's primary population centers and my latest economic projections. The Austin, Round Rock, Georgetown MSA lost 137,000 jobs from February to April 2020. As of June, employment was only 5,400 jobs below pre-pandemic peak. We expect almost 140,000 net new wage and salary jobs to be added over the next 5 years, 2.47% per annum growth. Dallas Plano Irving employment remains at 21,700 below prior levels after a loss of about 299,200 jobs between February and April 2020. We forecast an addition of nearly 351,900 net new positions through 2025, a 2.49% yearly pace. Fort Worth, Arlington, Grapevine conditions have improved substantially after February to April 2020 losses of 126,200, but employment remained 31,300 below the previous peak as of June. Employment in the area is likely to expand by more than 128,000 jobs, a 2.34% per annum gain. El Paso employment is 11,200 below the February 2020 level, but has recovered many of the 36,800 jobs lost in the early months of the pandemic. We project close to 38,700 net new jobs by 2025, a 2.13% annual rise. In Houston, the Woodlands Sugarland MSA, which is heavily impacted by both energy and shipping, employment remained 147,900 below pre-pandemic totals in June, but had recovered significantly from the loss of 361,400 in the spring of 2020. Things should improve notably over the next 5 years, with wage and salary employment up nearly 399,800 jobs during the period, a 2.44% yearly pace. McAllen Edinburgh Mission is 7,500 below the pre-pandemic employment, but has regained a majority of the 28,100 jobs lost. Our latest forecast calls for employment to expand with a yearly growth rate of 2.40% for an increase of over 34,500 jobs by 2025. For San Antonio, New Braunfels, the first few months of the pandemic led to losses of 131,000 jobs, and June employment remained 10,800 below February 2020. Close to 137,300 net new jobs are expected to be created through 2025, a 2.39% annual rate. Smaller MSAs have seen similar patterns, with a few even exceeded prior peaks. The pandemic hit hard, but the economy is on track to recoup aggregate losses by early next year, with notable momentum in all major markets. Assuming that the Delta variant does not bring additional disruptions, we expect these recovery patterns to persist. Stay safe. M. Ray Perryman is the head of the Perryman Group and serves as Distinguished Professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies.
Welcome, surprise. Photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. United States Marine Corps veteran Ray Lopez smiles as she speaks Monday morning at a groundbreaking ceremony in Odessa. Operation Finally Home, along with local builder Silverleaf Homes, partnered to surprise U.S. Marine Corporal Ray Lopez and his daughters with news they are receiving a new mortgage-free home. Lopez served 3 tours in Iraq and received 2 Purple Heart medals. Lopez has a 100% disabled veteran rating. Lopez said he was motivated to join the U.S. Marines after the terrorist attacks on 9/11. Marine, longtime Odessan, gifted with new home by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. U.S. Marine Corporal Ray Lopez initially thought he was just taking part in a simple interview process with Operation Finally Home and Silverleaf Homes. Instead, the longtime Odessan, who served multiple tours in Iraq in the early 2000s, was surprised with news that he and his 2 daughters, Madison and Sarah, were going to be receiving a new mortgage-free home with a special groundbreaking ceremony that took place Monday morning at 2101 Congress Street in Odessa. When Lopez finally realized what was happening, he was at a loss for words. "I think that was my biggest thing," Lopez said. "I was like, oh, God." I almost shut down mentally because I didn't have any words when I got out. The first thing I thought was, I'm going to trip on this platform. No, when I saw it, all I could think about were barbecues in the backyard and these 2 running around. I got so excited. In my head, I was thinking, don't smile too much. I just couldn't believe it. It was a pure shock and a feeling of wellness. It was a really good feeling of gracious and acceptance. The project is put on through a partnership between Operation Finally Home and Silverleaf Homes. Operation Finally Home, which is based in New Braunfels, is a nonpartisan, nonprofit 501c3 organization with a mission to provide homes and home modifications to America's military heroes, first responders, and widows of the fallen. Established in 2005, it has completed or is in the planning stages on more than 300 home projects in more than 30 states. Ray thought he was having a builder interview, but it was so nice to see the look on his and his daughter's faces when they realized what was happening. Operation Finally Home Project Manager Ronnie Lyles said, "He no longer has to worry about a mortgage. It's an honor to give back to someone who's given so much." Finally Home partners with corporate sponsors, builder associations, builders, remodelers, developers, individual contributors, and volunteers to help these heroes and their families by addressing one of their most pressing needs, which is a place to call home. This is the first project in which Operation Finally Home has partnered with Silver Leaf Homes. "I just want to thank the city of Odessa and for Silver Leaf Homes," Lyles said. "Silver Leaf Homes stepped up for this project, and hopefully it's not our last. We're thankful for the city of Odessa and the citizens who have welcomed the Lopez family, and will continue to do that." Silverleaf Homes, which has been around for 30 years, has become a premier home builder in the greater Fort Worth area, as well as the Permian Basin. Silverleaf Homes co-owner Drew Wegman says, "It's fantastic to do this partnership with Operation Finally Home. We build homes for a living, but to be a part of one that's honoring a veteran and honoring Ray with a home that has no mortgage is a blessing for us to be involved with," Wegman said. Lopez, who is originally from Kermit, moved to Odessa when he was in the sixth grade, attending Cameron Elementary and Bonham and Nimitz Junior High before attending Permian High School. Lopez played defensive end at Permian and graduated in the class of 2002. He is the second oldest of five children raised by his grandparents in Odessa. Lopez joined the military following the September 11, 2001 attacks. "It was the actual day, 9/11, Lopez said. "I was going into my English class. I was late. I saw what happened on the television, and I quit everything. I quit football and focused on work and joining the Marine Corps. I initially wanted to be in the military police, but I decided that I didn't want to do law enforcement. I wanted to go over there and bring them the same damage that they brought us." He served 4+ years in the U.S. Marine Corps from August 2002 to November 2006, with his three tours taking place in Iraq. In 2004, Lopez's unit took on enemy fire while on foot patrol. Upon entering a house, Lopez was hit in the chest with gunfire from a bedroom and could not return fire due to pain from the injury and a collapsed lung. He was eventually medically evacuated from the area. After receiving treatment in the United States, he returned for a third tour of duty in 2006. He was honorably discharged in November 2006 after receiving a Purple Heart for injuries sustained in combat. Lopez deals with chronic pain from his chest wound, as well as traumatic brain injury, vertigo, grand mal seizures, migraines, and tinnitus from a head injury. As a result of his experiences, he also battles symptoms of PTSD every day. Despite his injuries, Lopez has always been thankful to the Odessa community for always being there for him. "After I was shot in the chest in 2004, the community was there," Lopez said. "It was almost a reminder that I was never alone. The community is always there, and it's a feeling that this is home, and this is what it's about." West Texas has always been a strong community for people who serve this country. "It's amazing how everyone here loves and has great admiration for people who serve." He was also presented with a flag from the Patriot Guard riders, who helped escort him and his daughters to the home site for the groundbreaking ceremony on Monday. They presented me with a flag that was signed by the people of the West Texas chapter, and they just basically said thank you for your service and presented me with a token of their gratitude, Lopez said. The new home will be 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms and will be just over 2,000 square feet, Wegman said. Wegman says the construction should take about 5 to 6 months to complete. Lopez is just happy to soon not have to worry about a mortgage. Oh, man, right now it feels great thinking about it, Wegman said. Currently, my mortgage is not a big deal, but to have one where I don't have to pay for it is a big deal. It would be nice to be back on the lake and continuing my pain management so that I can get back on the golf course.
Texas colleges offer mediocre value for their cost. Commentary by Chris Tomlinson. Texas colleges and universities are at best mediocre when it comes to value for money, according to a new study. Smart Asset, a financial technology company, created a college education value index that incorporates tuition, retention rates, student aid, living costs, and average starting salaries. Texas schools offer a return on investment that rates a C+ when compared to universities in other states. Rice University ranked highest in Texas with a score of 73 on a 100-point scale. The Houston-based private university has the highest tuition, but also offers the largest average scholarships and grants, and its students graduated to an average salary of $72,400 a year. A distant second was the University of Texas at Austin with a score of 66. Longhorns average $62,100 a year after graduation. The University of Houston came in third at 58 with earnings at 57.5 thanks to low tuition. The rest of the Texas top 10 ranged from Texas A&M with 57 down to Texas State University, which scored 47. Nationally, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology was at the top with a 100. The school retains 99% of its students. Average scholarships and grants cover most of the tuition, and the average starting salary is $88,300 a year. That's a great deal for those who can get it. Most fascinating, though, is that Princeton is the only Ivy League school to make Smart Assets top 10 best value for money. The school's average awarded scholarships and grants are more than the cost of tuition, and average salaries are $77,300. But even that only warrants sixth place. California has the most schools in the top 10, including the California Institute of Technology at number 2, Stanford University at number 3, and Harvey Mudd College at number 4. Most of the universities in the top 10 have strong engineering and technology programs. The Smart Asset analysis offers several insights. The most obvious is that science, technology, engineering, and math studies, often called STEM fields, are the most valuable. If you sort Texas schools by salary rather than best value for money, STEM's importance becomes more apparent. Rice and UT Austin still top the list, but Texas A&M and the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio move into third and fourth place. Parents of young children should study these rankings the most because, frankly, if their child has not excelled in STEM subjects by the time they are choosing a college, it's too late. Third grade math scores are highly predictive, and students who didn't take Algebra 2 by their junior year will not catch up. We should all worry about Texas students' historically dismal performance in math. The dramatic drop in statewide math scores due to remote learning during the COVID-19 pandemic should make us terrified for the state's future. The percentage of students in grades 3 through 8 who did not meet state standards in math increased to 37% in 2021 from 21% in 2019. The results of the state of Texas assessments of academic readiness showed. While low-income students fared worse than their peers, the largest decline was seen in districts with a higher percentage of students learning virtually. This means probably 800,000 or more students fell below in math than usual, Texas Education Commissioner Mike Morath said. Texas leaders like to brag about the hundreds of people who move to the state every day as a sign of our state's economic success. But in fact, it's a sign of our dependency on outside talent because our education system is so poor. Texas ranks near the bottom of almost every measure of educational success, and our thriving economy has yet to reduce the poverty rate. While Texas has some great schools, there are not nearly enough of them for 29 million people. About 10% of the nation's children live in Texas, but the state only has 9 Tier 1 research universities and 170 institutions of higher education. Texas's economic future depends on an education workforce capable of performing the jobs of the future. Government plays a role in education, from pre-K to our public universities. If we want our state and its people to thrive, we need to offer better value at our institutes of higher education, and we must ensure young Texans are prepared to learn. Community Benefits from Oil Industry Partnership by Pete Avalos. Oil and gas companies are always on the lookout for highly skilled talent when looking to fill open positions. Where do they look for a strong talent pool? How do they generate positive leads to fill those positions? What are the skills they look for? These are some questions that recruiters, human resources, and talent acquisition departments ask every time they must either replace a person or hire for a new position. Midland College Energy Technology and Diesel Technology programs have developed strong partnerships with local oil and gas companies to help answer some of those questions and fill the employment gap here in the Permian Basin. There is a representation from upstream, midstream, and downstream companies. The partnerships are made up of large corporations such as Chevron, Oxy, Ovintiv, and SM Energy, as well as dependents such as Endeavor and CrownQuest. Just to mention a few, these companies are a very integral part of the educational process. Where do they look for a strong talent pool? Conveniently located in the Permian Basin, MC provides an ideal starting point. As a community college, MC is committed to provide a strong talent pool with individuals that possess a strong foundational skill set. All faculty in the energy and diesel programs have industry experience in oil and gas or the diesel equipment industries. This ensures that the students are not only receiving the theory aspect of instruction, but also instruction from a practical, real-world experience. All courses consist of lecture plus actual hands-on labs. The hands-on labs help to reinforce content and allow students to apply what they've learned in the classroom. How do they generate positive leads to fill those positions? Industry partners are invited to speak to students about opportunities within their respective companies. Some of them attend classes as guest lecturers or speak about a day in the life of an engineer, field service tech, natural gas compressor mechanic, etc. These opportunities provide students with the day-to-day functions of a job in the oil and gas industry. Moreover, it establishes name recognition for the company and allows students to begin networking with individual companies. What are the skills they look for? Every company wants an individual that is already well-versed and experienced, but in reality, those types of individuals are a rare find. MC works hand-in-hand with our industry partners to ensure that students are well-equipped with the fundamental skills necessary to be successful in the industry. Our Advisory Board, which consists of a diverse group of individuals from these companies, provides feedback in regards to new innovations and changes within the industry. Based on their input, MC will make curriculum changes to the industry, to the energy and diesel programs to ensure students possess skills that are current and relative. The partnership goes beyond providing subject matter expert involvement. These companies also provide scholarships as well as donations of equipment. Scholarships support students in the energy and diesel programs. Over the course of a year, Oxy, Chevron, Ovintiv, Arch Rock, Midland West Rotary Club have donated in excess of $35,000 towards scholarships. Arch Rock donated a compressor package valued at approximately $200,000. Other industry partners such as Endeavor, John Deere, Yellow House, and Caterpillar have donated everything from pumps, engines, transmissions, to downhole equipment. They are making an investment in our students' future with these types of donations. Partnerships between Midland College and the oil and gas industry is an important and vital part to developing a well-rounded, skilled individual that is prepared to enter the workforce. Midland College is the gateway for these employers in being able to provide an employee with a fundamentally strong base. We are extremely fortunate to be in the Permian Basin. We are here to support each other for the long haul.
This is the opinion page. This column is entitled, Idea Travis's Growth is Needed Win for Education, by Stuart Doreen, editor. Congratulations to the students and teachers at Travis Elementary. You made your improvement happen, and there are a lot of Midlanders who couldn't be prouder. We talked with Bethany Solis, Executive Director of IDEA Public Schools of the Permian Basin, and she said that using the rating system of 2019, the last time grades were given to campuses, that IDEA Travis would have been given the grade of a B. That is rare territory for MISD schools. Only four campuses in the district received an A or B in 2019, and it is a huge accomplishment for the elementary school in Southeast Midland. Travis was not only a failing school, but had one of the longest failing streaks in the state. But the past appears to be the past. While there is room to grow with absolute results, the growth has been good enough to put an elite rating, well, elite for Midland, on the campus. Still, this is the type of education news that many of us want to see. The number one priority for the school district should be academic performance, and when we see dramatic improvement, our community should celebrate it. We should also ask how it happened, and if there is anything that can be replicated across the district. Sadly, there are going to be some who don't want to celebrate this academic good news. They are going to make unfounded accusations about IDEA Travis cherry-picking its student population. They are going to be critical of Midland ISD's partnership with a charter program, IDEA Public Schools. They are going to come up with reasons to dislike the IDEA Travis news they read and the improvement being experienced. There might even be elected representatives who acknowledge the improvement, but attempt to temper excitement, saying that these types of partnerships are not in the best interest of the school district. Here's what I would tell any of these people. Midland needs achievement, not institutional protectionism. Midland needs an education system that can go from an F to a B during a year when the pandemic rocked our education world. IDEA Travis didn't make excuses, just games in the classroom. And if it was so easy, it would have been done before. We wouldn't have forced that campus to be among the worst in the state. Midlanders should be excited about this new chapter in education. Midlanders should be pleased that the school board opted for a solution that didn't require the closing of a campus, but allowed what is still basically a neighborhood school to serve its own students. They should also see this as a win for the education of Hispanics in Midland. 83% of Travis students met or exceeded their individual growth goal on the STAR exam. 62% of all English learners met their English proficiency growing goal. An average of 1.5 years was made up during the year dominated by COVID. That students in grades 3 to 5 averaged improvement in their reading by a grade and a half. That 93% of Travis students met or exceeded their growth target in math. In pre-K through second grade, only about 5% were reading on grade level at the beginning of the year. By the end of the 2020-21 campaign, 70% were on level with where they should be in that curriculum. It is exciting, and I am proud of their growth, but they will be the top students in Midland. Period. Idea Travis Executive Principal Haley McCarthy said, they will outperform everyone else. It will take a little time. Solis added, I mean, these are the things that people think are impossible, right? That a school that failed for so many years, oh, it's not possible for those kids to progress that far in 1 year. No, it is, because it was never the kids' fault to begin with. We knew that. We knew before that Idea Public Schools was a proven commodity. Now Midland has experienced how good Idea can be here in one of the worst performing districts in the state. Our community should look forward to any expansion of Idea in our community, either on its own or as a partner of the district. We should also encourage that if a school district makes a call for quality to improve another MISD school, that Idea gets earnest consideration. The business and philanthropic community in Midland believes in Idea. Now we know why. It's time the rest of us say, let's see more of what is happening at an improving school like Travis. It is better for education in Midland.
Benign frontal lobe epilepsy. Dear Dr. Roach, about 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with benign frontal lobe epilepsy. My only symptom is that about once every 4 months, I get chills in the middle of the night. I have never met another person with this issue. Have you ever heard of this? B.S. Answer. Epilepsy, a condition of recurrent seizures, is an extraordinarily broad group of neurological conditions ranging dramatically in severity and symptoms. Epilepsy can be characterized many ways. First, by where in the brain the abnormal electrical signals begin. In your case, it is the frontal lobe. Seizures can be generalized, meaning people immediately lose consciousness, or focal, meaning people are aware of the onset of the seizure. Finally, we look at the seizure activity for abnormal movements versus no abnormal movements. People with frontal lobe seizures usually have symptoms related to movement. However, a sensation of chills is occasionally heard in talking to people with a history of frontal lobe and temporal lobe epilepsy. It would take an EEG during an episode to be 100% sure that this is your epilepsy causing the symptom, and if you only get this symptom every 4 months, it would be hard to catch. Sometimes neurologists provoke a seizure through sleep deprivation, flashing lights, or other means to catch it during the EEG, but I'm not sure this would be necessary in your case. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.